Eno Saris joins us. Eno, I think the premier writer of the baseball analytics in the country. He writes for The Athletic, and we see him at the ballpark all the time. Eno, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
No, I'm glad to have you on. And really, I think the stuff you do is just outstanding. If people should subscribe just for you, forget about Andy Baggerly. They should get you on The Athletic.
And we got Brisby, too. It's a good crew.
You're a good teammate. I thought you were going to say, yeah, forget about them and read me. All right. You're a good teammate. You wrote some interesting things this week, and one that really got me, because 15 games into the season, of course, I do these shows on the weekend. The Giants lose 3-4 to San Diego, and everyone says, see, I told you, they stink, and the season's over. But there are certain things you look for early in a season about players, especially hitters, well, pitchers too, some of the ratios that make sense to you that you say, well, if the guy is doing this, it can't be that bad. And I heard one the other day on the radio about Josh Donaldson in Atlanta, and his numbers are awful, but I think he's number 3 in baseball in exit velocity, which means eventually the ball's going to fall in.
Yeah, exit velocity is good that way. It's kind of like pitch velocity. Those two things are really easily measurable. They're directly measurable. They're important. They're not everything. There's all the stuff around it, how you approach an at bat, you know, your walks, strikeouts, all that stuff. But that stuff becomes meaningful later on. Right now, if you ask someone, how hard do you throw and how hard do you hit? That's about the best thing you can ask early in the season.
Keeping it in the National League East, the young phenom that everybody's paying attention to now, Pete Alonso, hit a ball that I think people are still talking about. It looked like it was on its way up when it landed in the drink in center field in Atlanta the other night. Have you put any thought into what's going on with him? He's got a great launch angle. He's got extreme exit velocity. He looks like he's the real deal after leading the minors in home runs last season.
Yeah, every time you hit the ball over 108 miles an hour, it actually changes the numbers going forward, changes your projections going forward. And he's already done that like 3 or 4 times. Yeah. So he's definitely, I'm not sure if he's going to take on Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton still has the record for the first and second hardest hit balls ever, and they're like 120 and 121. But they got a little bit of a mini Stanton over in New York. In Queens.
Yeah, I like Alonso.
Yeah, me too.
Carmen, we saw Alonso. Allie, we talked to Alonso down in the Fall League.
He's a real deal.
Very impressed with him. Let's talk Giants just a little bit, because they're hitting under 200. The pitching is extraordinary right now, especially the starting pitching and the number of innings they're getting out of the starters. It's almost 6 a start, which for an average in today's world is pretty darn good. But what about those ratios you just talked about on the offensive side for the Giants? Is anyone lurking kind of that maybe, you know, the ball's just not falling in for him right now?
Not really. But one of the things that that does look like it's working out sort of well early in the season is Kevin Pillar. And I think what's nice about him is he's a right-hander. If you look at how balls perform in that park, you know, for right-handers to left field, basically the park plays, you know, it plays like a pitcher's park, like a normal pitcher's park. But for left-handers to right field, it plays like the worst pitcher's park ever in the history of baseball. So I think getting Pillar will be actually, he's not known as a power hitter, but getting him will help with Longo and some of the righty power they've got, Buster getting right. There's not sort of an exit velocity standout, but there is some hope for some of that righty power to get going again.
You know, Sarah's the voice you hear of The Athletic. Joy and Marty and I here on the patio weekends in the park. Talking about Madison Bumgarner, more has been made, I think, this week. Teams starting to pop up as potential suitors for him around the trade deadline. And we're hearing that he could be more of a middle-of-the-rotation guy as evaluators are viewing him. Second and third time through the lineup, he is just not very good. Are the metrics showing that he's not that good? Is his spin rate down? What is it that we're seeing from Bumgarner that's making him not as dominant those second and third times through?
What's amazing about him is that his spin rate is actually up. All of his pitches, they're about 300 RPM up, and that's rare. But I would love to talk to him about that. But in general, I think the main problem for him is velocity. It's not really coming back. He's about a 91-mile-an-hour pitcher in an era where the average fastball right now is around 93-plus. I think that's a little bit of the game-changing around him. I think when he came up, when he first came up, his velocity was above average. And not only has he lost a little bit, but the league has gone past him. So I think that's the main problem. Some of his pitches have changed shape a little bit, but he's still got three pitches in terms of the fastball, the cutter, and the curve. And I don't think that's the reason why he's having a hard time third time through the order.
How about his swing rate? Because I was hearing like guys like Dallas Keuchel, guys who are pitch to contact guys, it's becoming harder to be successful in this game when you don't get the swing and misses that you're used to getting. Where does Bumgarner fall in the swing rate category?
Yeah, he actually, that's been the main problem. When he had a higher velocity, people swung more. And what happened was they swung more, and so then he could throw a bunch of curveballs and cutters, and they would swing over the top of those. And so, you know, in terms of movement, it looks very similar, but the swing rate is down, and that's because the velocity is down. When you have the higher your velocity goes, the higher your swing rate is, and that's just a simple fact because the batter has to decide earlier. If you throw 95, the batter has to decide earlier to swing, and that's you're going to get more swings, and you're going to get more swings on all of your stuff if you throw 95.
Well, great point, Eno. Great point. Eno Saris with us of The Athletic. Very good point. Anything on Posey? And I know we listen to the broadcasters each night, and you talk with them and talk to Bruce Bochy. Well, the swing's coming around. He's hitting the ball hard. Do the numbers justify that?
There is some hope in the numbers. Actually, he's one of the 15 unluckiest by a StatCast stat that is called expected WOBA. And you don't have to worry about the name of the thing. What I'm just saying is, based on his balls in play, based on their shape, their exit velocity, where he's been hitting, he should be doing better. I think that he'll come around. I see in the numbers some hope. He definitely fell off late last season before the surgery, and I think there's a return to form in the cards for him because he's healthy now.
All right. I love the numbers. See, the numbers can explain things, and I really enjoy reading your stuff, and you're always very accurate on this stuff. You did a column this week about 10 surprises, good pitchers and ones who have sort of disappointed you. There's a couple on there. One is we talk about Marjovicius. Max Fried from Atlanta. I love this guy. Tyler Mahle from Cincinnati. Rondon from the White Sox. And someone, Trent Thornton. I'm not sure who that is. But can you go through some of the ones you think are doing well? Because this Max Fried, this guy looks to me like he's the next big star.
Oh, he's better than expected already, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll talk about a little bit about the National League guys that you might see come through. You know, Max Fried has the third biggest drop on his curveball in baseball, and that has led to some command issues in the past. But right now, he's commanding his fastball just enough to be able to get into good counts to throw, to kind of bury that curveball in the dirt, and people are having a real hard time with it. So his recipe is not about command. His recipe is almost the modern recipe, which is just throw really hard, throw kind of towards the zone, get enough strikes, and then just start pouring in breaking balls. And it is fun to watch, though, because the curveball is really nice. And Tyler Mahle, he's learned a new curveball. He's got a new pitching coach. Derek Johnson came over from the Milwaukee Brewers, and he preaches, you know, throw your secondary stuff a lot, throw your best pitches more. And Tyler's I think, about to take off in that regard. So those are some fun pitchers. I wish that I could report more on guys coming up for the Giants. But, you know, Derek Rodriguez, I think, and the Giants, are what's interesting about them, you're talking about them throwing more innings than anybody else. And their pitchers have more pitches than most other people. You know, when you think about Andy Suarez and you think about Derek Rodriguez and these guys coming up, they throw four or five pitches, and that helps them go six innings. So I know it's not what the rest of baseball is doing. Like, the Rays are having their starters pitch like four and a half innings, basically, and everyone throws, you know, basically a fastball and a breaking ball. It's different, and it's not necessarily bad because it's different.
All right, very good. Interesting, as always. What about Trent Thornton? You know, who is he?
Oh, he's a high RPM guy. He's got the second highest spin rate, I think, in baseball on his curveball. And, of course, he's the guy that the Blue Jays got from the Astros. The Astros are the king of spin rate. He's now a Blue Jays starter. I think he came over in the Osuna trade, where they traded Osuna and Giles. They traded their closers. And he had a little bit of a tough start last night, but I see everything I like to see out of a pitcher, where he has multiple pitches, good velocity, and this big curveball.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, we may see him when the Giants play Toronto. Very good. Now, the list of pitchers who are not doing well, if you had them all on your fantasy team, I think you'd be excited. You got Mikolas, Wheeler, Pivetta, Yu Darvish, and Quintana. I mean, those are all big names.
Yeah, the interesting about Yu Darvish is that he does not have good command. And I've noticed this with guys like Matt Harvey, there's a few other pitchers before where they've lost just, 1 mile an hour on their fastball or just a little bit. And they've been rocked hard by that. And it's been hard for them to kind of get going, even though you're like, hey, Matt Harvey still throws 93. Yu Darvish still throws 93. The problem is that they didn't have good command. And now that they're at 93, it's a much more hittable fastball. So I'm a little bit worried about Yu Darvish. At this point, he's a kind of a fastball slider pitcher with bad command and a 93 mile an hour fastball. It's not what the Cubs thought they were getting when they signed him. So. Right next to him, Quintana, on the other hand, always came with good command, and his secondary stuff has actually gotten better since he got to Chicago. So I think he's gonna take off.
He had a good game his last game. Gave up 8 runs the game before that. His last one was very good.
In like an inning or so, too.
He beat Pittsburgh. No, and yeah. Pittsburgh's, yeah. He had a good game. One last thought for you, the Dodgers. Dave Fleming and I touched on this just informally yesterday. Dodger pitching staff has got some holes in it right now, bullpen and starting.
Yeah. And the thing that they've counted on for so long is depth. They have another guy after another guy, and right now I think they're being tested. I mean, it's really, their DL is stacked, and even Kenley Jansen isn't quite where he used to be. I think this is really going to test them. We'll see if they respond by trading, but I don't think they will. I think they're going to try and ride it out. If you look at the Yankees and the Dodgers, both of them are being really tested by injury and some poor play. Their depth is being tested early in the season. I think they're going to try and wait it out because they have the depth to do that. And in the Dodgers' case, I think they'll just think that the division is waiting there for them. If they can just play to 500 or whatever early in the season, they at some point will get all their they're about to get Kershaw back, right? So, they're going to get all their weapons back and take the division eventually.
Well, it's like the prevent defense in football. It prevents you from winning. if you wait around, I like to be more proactive. By the way, they're going to do a bullpen game today. Caleb Ferguson goes for them today against Zach Davies against the Brewers. They don't even have a starter to go today. How about that?
That's surprising because going into the season, you would have said that they had about 10 starters that were major league quality.
Well, Rich Hill,
yep.
Rehab yeah. Next week.
Well, and it seems like they have that every year. Maeda's out there. You've got Ryu out there. I mean, it seems like they've got Ross Stripling is like a to the bullpen than a rotation guy. It seems like they have more guys on their roster than any team in the NL.
I don't like Stripling and Buehler. Stripling and Buehler are not pitching well.
Right. Yeah, I think they'll figure it out. Stripling's velocity is down below 90. That's a little bit concerning for me. But Buehler's still scoring 97. He's got two good breaking balls. I think he's just trying to find the feel on those breaking balls. I think he'll be fine. He's ace quality for me.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Stripling against the Giants, I'm glad you said that about his velocity, because remember how many breaking balls he threw against the Giants just to get through, and they pushed him just to get through the 6 innings. I thought they were going to knock him out earlier, but I said, where's the fastball? He didn't have it.
Yeah, he was throwing 89. The one thing is, in baseball, breaking balls are up. It's, between velocity being up and breaking balls being up. What's happening is around baseball is that the average fastball velocity is going up, and the people are using their fastball less. And so what they're just trying to do is entice you just enough to try and sit on 95, and then they're going to pour all those breaking balls in. And that's why this year we're headed towards the most strikeouts ever in baseball. And that was after last year, which was the most strikeouts in baseball, which was after the year before. So we're on like a 5-year streak of breaking records when it comes to the strikeouts. And I think we might also break records when it comes to home runs this year. So it's definitely a home run, all or nothing, home run or strikeout type league right now.
Well. Hey, great stuff, really great stuff. Saris with The Athletic. And as I say, it's worth it just to read Eno's stuff. Eno, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Love seeing you at the park as well.